are a lot of you here today, which is nice. We received a letter from Stan and Sandy Annenby. For those of you who know who they are, who were here when they share, they are Bible translators. And so he's pretty amazing. He can speak like 1,000 languages. And he goes to remote areas where they don't have Bibles in their native tongue, and he translates the Word of God into their language, which is pretty amazing. And it's a pretty important mission that they've been given. And anyways, if anybody would prayerfully consider, they're looking for support. They have been down in support over the last few years. They still feel called to this ministry. And so they're just asking people to prayerfully consider supporting them financially. And if anybody would like to do that, you can come see me and I can give you more info on their ministry. And hopefully they will be coming back to share again. He always plays the guitar and shares, and it's always a blessing to have them come. So they will both be here hopefully sometime soon as well. So today we're going to continue. We've been working our way through the book of Acts. We're going to get into chapter 15. And before we do that, let's just ask God to help us to see what he wants us to hear through his word this morning. So Father, I give you thanks for each person that's here this morning, Lord. I give you thanks that we can come into your house and we can worship you because you are worthy to be praised. And Father God, right now, as we continue to worship you through looking at your word, Father, I pray that you'd speak to us. And Lord, I pray that your words would fill our hearts, Lord, and they would fill our minds, Father God. And I pray that that the truth of your word would just take hold of our lives, Lord. And that by your spirit we could walk the way that your word has asked us and called us to. And so, Father God, as we open up the scriptures today, Father, I pray that you would just speak to us. I pray, Father God, that it would be your words and not mine. More of you, Father. We want more of you this morning. And so we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So, at the end of chapter 14, Paul and Barnabas return home to their church where they were sent out in Antioch. They had just returned from their first missions trip. And it was a missions trip with ups and downs, right? They got to see the Gentiles, you know, that call to taking this gospel to the ends of the earth. They see these Gentiles receiving Christ as their Savior and turning to him and trusting in him for salvation. But it also was a missions trip where Paul is stoned and dragged out into the street and sort of left for dead. But when they come back to their home church, they reported all that God had done. You know, they reported everything that God had been doing all over. To every area that they went to, they reported the things that God had done. And I love how they don't say they reported all the things that we did, but what God had done. Because it was all about God, and it was all about trusting in his leading and in his guiding to show the Gentiles that their salvation is found also in no one else but Jesus Christ. Their salvation is found in Jesus Christ as well. And at the end, in verse 27, on arriving there, they gathered the church together and reported all that God had done through them and how he had opened up the door of faith to the Gentiles. He'd opened a door of faith to the Gentiles. And amen, because that includes all of us in here as well. that all of us can also receive the gospel message of Jesus Christ and the truth of Jesus Christ, each one of us. And Paul and Barnabas are excited about sharing this with their church. They're excited about sharing what God is doing. They're on a high about the love that God had been showing to these Gentiles. They're excited about the report that they can bring back to their home church, that their missions trip was a success. Even though Paul has been stoned and left for dead, it was still a success because he's willing to lay down his life to bring that message to people all over the world. It was a success, and they're excited to bring it back. And the Bible says that they stayed there for a long time with the other disciples in Antioch. They stayed there for a long time. But we don't know how long that time was, but sometime after that, these religious guys, they come down from Judea. And in chapter 15, we hear what they have to say. Chapter 15, certain people came down from Judea to Antioch and were teaching the believers. Unless you are circumcised according to the custom taught by Moses, you cannot be saved. You cannot be saved. These guys come down into the church where they have been celebrating what God has done throughout the land, seeing people come to the... They've been celebrating the fact that people are coming to know the Lord. They're excited about it. And these guys come in and they almost try and like squash that excitement. You know, how many times have you felt like God's done something in your life and you're excited about it and you want to share something about it, and then all of a sudden something comes and tries to quash it? And so this brings Paul and Barnabas into a sharp dispute. In verse 2 it says, Paul and Barnabas were brought into a sharp dispute and debate with them. This teaching that these guys brought down made Paul and Barnabas upset, actually angry. The tone of these words are anger. A sharp dispute and debate with them. See, Paul and Barnabas know that it's God's plan to save the whole world. They know that the Gentiles have been receiving the same faith that they received. And these guys believe that it's only for Jewish people. These guys are saying, no, there's only a certain group who can be saved. You have to be Jewish to be saved. And in verse 2, it continues, so Paul and Barnabas were appointed along with some other believers to go up to Jerusalem to see the apostles and elders about this question. Paul and Barnabas are appointed again by the church to go to Jerusalem, to go to the apostles, Peter, James, to go to the church in Jerusalem and ask about this question and why. Why would they need to ask? Why would they need to ask about this? In chapter 2 of Acts, in verse 42, the church, this is what they believed. Acts 2, verse 42 says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship. See, the church devoted themselves to what the doctrine, another word for this teaching, the doctrine that the apostles had given. They devoted themselves to that. They considered it truth because it was truth. And so for them to bring this question to the apostles and ask, say, what is truth here? What do we do here? See, there were different teachings at this time, just like there are different teachings now. But they devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings. So we have all sorts of beliefs out there now. We have all sorts of doctrines in the world right now. There's different doctrines even between Christian denominations. But these guys, the apostles, were the ones that would tell them the truth. Christians were devoted to the apostles, and they were submissive to that teaching. They were submissive to that teaching, even if they didn't like it. Even if it was something that was taught that they didn't like, they were submissive to what the apostles taught as doctrine. See, there's not many believers in North America these days that like, that have that mindset, that like that. We like to believe in what makes us feel good, right? We like to believe in something that's comfortable and easy to listen to and doesn't challenge us or push us out of our comfort zone. Many of us, we like to skip past the Bible verses that don't make us feel very good, myself included. But the truth is that we can't do that, right? Even if Scripture teaches something that's hard for us to hear or that challenges us or makes us question how we're living our lives and maybe even challenges us to change, to turn from the where we are right now and go in a different direction, isn't that something we should do? If Scripture is teaching us to do something different with ourselves, shouldn't we turn from our old self and move towards the new self that Jesus created us to be? It's easy to say, man, I feel God's telling me this, or I have a peace with my decision to do this or to do that, and to ignore biblical truth. It's easy to say that I feel good and I feel that God's saying this to me, but the thing is that God is never going to tell us to do something that's outside of what is written in this word. God is never going to tell us, and it doesn't matter how much we try to convince ourselves that what we're doing is okay or what we're doing is right. If it's against Scripture, then it's not all right. It doesn't matter how you feel about what God is saying. God gave us His Word because He wants us to live by it and to follow it and to take it as truth and to take it seriously. If we believe in it, then we have to follow it. And the apostles' teaching is truth. So they bring this question to the apostles. They're bringing this question. What do you have to say? Verse 4. When they came to Jerusalem, they were welcomed by the church and the apostles and elders, to whom they reported everything God had done through them. Then some of the believers who belonged to the party of the Pharisees stood up and said, "The Gentiles must be circumcised and required to keep the law of Moses." It's pretty much like these believers, these group of Pharisees believe that you have to become Jewish to be able to become a Christian. You have to change everything about yourself in the wrong way. Follow a law that they couldn't even follow to receive Jesus Christ. And it sounds kind of ludicrous to us today, reading it, doesn't it? It sounds like, how could they have even thought that this was a good idea? But in this day, the Jewish people didn't even really interact with Gentiles. It was kind of frowned upon for them to even go and associate themselves with Gentiles. So in this day and age, like, this was a big deal. And when we read it now, we're like, it doesn't even make sense. She would have to become circumcised and follow the law of Moses, and then you can follow Jesus. Like, that doesn't make sense. But in this day, it was a real issue. They took real issue with it. So they had much discussion. And verse 6, the apostles and elders met to consider this question. After much discussion, Peter got up and addressed them. Brothers, you know that some time ago, God made a choice among you that the Gentiles might hear from my lips the message of the gospel and believe. God, who knows the heart, showed that he accepted them by giving them the Holy Spirit, just as he did to us. He did not discriminate between us and them, for he purified their hearts by faith. Now then, why do you try to test God by putting on the necks of Gentiles a yoke that neither we nor our ancestors have been able to bear? No, we believe it is through the grace of our Lord Jesus that we are saved, just as they are. Peter again takes his leadership role, and he gets up and he explains to them, I was called out to Cornelius to go and share first with the Gentiles. And I saw what God did. He gave them the Holy Spirit the same way that he gave it to us. He says, God does not discriminate between Jew and Gentile. Amen. That should be very good news to each and every one of you in here. God does not discriminate between Jew and Gentile. Thank God that he sent Jesus for you and for me. And then he says something that is very important to his fellow Jewish believers. He says in verse 10, why do you put a yoke around the neck of the Gentiles that neither you nor our ancestors were able to bear? Why do you hold them to a standard that we ourselves couldn't achieve? Why are you trying to make them live up to a standard that we couldn't reach? And man, I wish that this was a one-off for believers, but this happens all the time. This happens all the time. We try to hold the world to this Christian standard sometimes. We try to hold unbelievers to a standard that they don't even believe in. And it comes out as a judgmental tone. We try to hold them to a standard that we couldn't even live up to on our own. Because the only way that we receive salvation is because of Jesus Christ. And the only way that we're forgiven of our sins is because of what Jesus did on the cross and what he accomplished there. You know that we were dead in sin, and we were only made alive in Christ. Sometimes I think we try to minimize our sin while pointing out to the world how great their sin is. And it's easy too. Right? Like we look around the world and it's easy because it is going down the pooper. Isn't it?
Yep.
Am I speaking wrong? It's easy. It's hard for us to understand. And it's hard for us to, you know, see what the decisions that are being made. And we think to ourselves, what's going on here? How can we think that the direction that we're heading in now is better than where we were before? I don't get it. But one thing we have to remember is Jesus died for their sins too. Just as he died for my sins, just as he died for your sins, he died for their sins too. And Jesus said that he didn't come to condemn the world, but to save it. I want to share with you Jesus' words in John chapter 12, starting verse 44. Then Jesus cried out, whoever believes in me does not believe in me only, but in the one who sent me. The one who looks at me is seeing the one who sent me. I have come into the world as a light, so that no one who believes in me should stay in darkness. If anyone hears my words but does not keep them, I do not judge that person, for I have not come to judge the world, but to save the world. There is a judge for the one who rejects me and does not accept my words. The very words I have spoken will condemn them at the last day. For I did not speak on my own, but the Father who sent me commanded me to say all that I have spoken. I know that his commands lead to eternal life. So whatever I say is just what the Father told me to say. If Jesus himself could let God be the judge, then I think that we also need to follow that same attitude and allow God to be the judge. Because I'll tell you what, people don't need other people to judge them here on earth. And now I'm not saying that we don't ever talk about truth or we don't ever point out that there is a truth. We do. We speak about the truth. But only in a loving way. And we let God be the judge in the end. We speak truth. But we say what Peter says in verse 11. He says, no, we believe it is through the grace of our Lord Jesus that we are saved, just as they are saved. We believe that it is through the Lord Jesus, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that we are saved, just as they are saved. In verse 12, Paul and Barnabas get up. The whole assembly became silent, and they listened to Barnabas and Paul telling about the signs and wonders God had done among the Gentiles through them. And then James, Jesus' half-brother, he uses wisdom here, doesn't he? He's sat down and he's heard the Pharisees give their side. He's heard Peter say what he has to say. He's heard Paul and Barnabas share about all these things that God had done through them on their missions trip. And he's sitting there and he's listening. And then he gets up. When they finished, James spoke up, verse 13. Brothers, he said, listen to me. Simon has described to us how God first intervened to choose a people for his name from the Gentiles. The words of the prophets are in agreement with this, as it is written. After this, I will return and rebuild David's fallen tent. Its ruins I will rebuild, and I will restore it, that the rest of mankind may seek the Lord. Even all the Gentiles who bear my name, says the Lord who does these things, things known from long ago. It is my judgment, therefore, that we should not make it difficult for the Gentiles who are turning to God. One thing that I like about this is notice that he uses scripture here to back up his point. God's already talked about all this through his prophets. He's already said that he was going to save the entire world. And James gets up and he says that. He says, if we are looking at scripture, if we believe in scripture, then, hey, let's not make it difficult for these people who are turning to God now. But he uses scripture to back up what he says. He doesn't say, I feel like God is saying, or I feel like this or that. He said, no, God spoke through the prophets, and this is what he said. Truth. This is what he said. So they decide to write a letter. And this is what the letter says. Verse 26, or 24. The apostles and elders, your brothers, to the Gentile believers in Antioch, Syria, and Cilicia. Greetings. We have heard that some went out from us without our authorization and disturbed you, troubling your minds by what they said. So we all agreed to choose some men and send them to you with our dear friends Barnabas and Paul, men who have risked their lives for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, we are sending Judas and Silas to confirm by word of mouth what we are writing. It seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us not to burden you with anything beyond the following requirements. You are to abstain from food, from food sacrificed to idols, from blood, from the meat of strangled animals, and from sexual immorality. You will do well to avoid these things. Farewell. Farewell. Short and sweet. One of the first things that they addressed is these believers who were unauthorized to go down to the church and start teaching a different teaching. Unauthorized to teach a teaching at this church. And you know, we know that we are representatives of the church, right? How we treat people outside of here matters. How we handle ourselves outside of the church matters. What we post on Facebook matters. Because when people look at us, they see the church. When people look at us, they should see Jesus. And it's very difficult when people go out and they do speak on behalf of the church without the church knowing about it. This is a struggle that sometimes we have in a leadership role in the church, is somebody will come to us and say, so-and-so said this about this and this, and then we didn't even know about it. So, and then we have to do what the apostles do here. They try to mend broken bridges that didn't need to be broken in the first place. When we go out, when we speak on behalf of our church, we have to speak with the grace that was shown to us by our Lord Jesus Christ. And we have to be representatives that share that light and that truth of who he is and what he's done for us in every interaction that we have outside of here. We show who Jesus is. When I read Acts chapter 15 and I think about the big players that were all there that were discussing matters of teaching, of doctrine, I think to myself, man, like, how much do we need to really rely on Scripture? How important is Scripture to us? Because, you know, there are so many things that are being taught. And, you know, and it's not always cut and dry. There are very smart theologians who disagree on certain doctrinal truths. And so we have to rely on the Holy Spirit to guide us. And we have to rely on some of these people who are a lot smarter to help us understand some of the things that are being taught. But we always rely on truth that is in here. Paul, when he writes to the Galatian church, he writes, "I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you to live in the grace of Jesus, in the grace of Christ, and turn to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion and are trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. That even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let them be under God's curse. As we have already said, so now I say again, if anybody is preaching to you a gospel other than what you accepted, let them be under God's curse. Am I now trying to win approval of human beings or God? Or am I trying to please people? If I were still trying to please people, I would not be servant of Christ." He's telling these guys, you know, we taught you truth. There was truth when we taught you and you accepted that truth. And now somebody else is trying to teach you something else, something different. Don't be confused. Stick to the truth. That would be my encouragement to you today. Stick to the truth. Let's pray. Father, we want to give you thanks this morning, Lord. We want to give you thanks for the truth that you have preserved in your word for us. Father, I pray that we would have a growing desire to know your word more. I pray that we would have a growing desire to understand and to study it more. And Lord, I pray for the areas that are sometimes hard to understand, Lord, I pray that you would help us to know your truth. By your Holy Spirit, Father, you would guide us to know what you would have us believe. Father God, I pray ultimately that we would let this book guide our steps and that we would walk according to it. And so, Father, we give you thanks and we give you praise this morning. In the name of Jesus, amen. Oh, we will invite you to join us for coffee and goodies in the back. If you want to visit or even just say hi, we ask that you do it back there. So I'm going to say this again. No visiting here, visiting out there. When you walk from this side of the room, no saying hi to anybody over here. You chose